Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome along to this week's episode of La Liga Lowdown. As always, I'm your host, Drew McTeer, and we're rebroadcast on Sirius XMFC 157. But there's a big difference to this week's episode, and it's the fact that we're not going to talk about La Liga. We can't. That's because this past weekend in Spanish football was dedicated to the Copa del Rey Cup competition and to the Spanish Super Cup. So we're going to bring you all the news and analysis and drama from that. And boy, did it turn out to be dramatic. Featuring in the Super Cup were last year's Copa del Rey winners Valencia, last year's La Liga winners Barcelona, and the second and third place teams from La Liga, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid. It was held in Saudi Arabia in a Final Four format, and the first semi-final we had was between Valencia and Real Madrid. Real Madrid, who were without Karim Benzema, without Eden Hazard, and without Gareth Bale. They played a five-man midfield instead, and they defeated Valencia 3-1.
Modri está muerto.
¡Qué
golazo!
¡Qué barbaridad! ¡Qué barbaridad!
¡Y gol, 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 gol! Pelota Parejo. Bajo palos Courtois. Parejo toma carrera. Chuta Parejo. Gol. Gol del Valencia.
You could hear the commentary there as Real Madrid scored their goals through three of their five midfielders, through Toni Kroos, Isco and Luka Modric. Dani Parejo got a late consolation for Valencia from the penalty spot. We've got Valencia fan Cesar Benoit here to discuss it all now. Firstly, Cesar, how frustrated are Valencia fans at the new format of the Supercopa and the inclusion of Real Madrid and Atletico, who didn't win a domestic trophy last season? Can you explain this to us a bit?
The Supercopa traditionally has been between the winner of the Spanish Copa del Rey and then the league, and that's the way it should be. We won the Copa del Rey. We have the right to be in the final and to play that final against Barcelona in Spain before the season starts. Unfortunately, money-grabbing people that run the Spanish Federation thought that they could make a quick buck and get a Real Madrid-Barcelona final, and decided to stiff clubs like Valencia by not only paying us less money than the other clubs, but putting us in a semifinal against Real Madrid. So yeah, I would say that most Valencia fans are very frustrated by the way that the Supercopa format went.
Do you think the players cared about this tournament? Because the Valencia performance in the semi-final against Real Madrid, it was quite uninspiring.
As far as the game went, I think the team just looked unmotivated and like they didn't want to be there. You know, our previous coach, Marcelino, was fired because of not only a bit of insubordination, but also because he wanted the team to play for the super for the cup final, for the Champions League spots, for a better position in the league. And it's possible that Peter Lim asked Celades and his crew, the coach, to not play this game as hard as they would like a league matchup or the upcoming Champions League matchup. So that could be an excuse for the way that they looked. I don't know. I just think that they just didn't look like they wanted to be there. And it didn't really matter what Madrid did, whether they played with five midfielders or one midfielder. Valencia just looked lethargic, tired, bored, uninterested.
That said, Real Madrid did play well, really well in fact, although they took the lead in somewhat unusual circumstances as Toni Kroos scored direct from a corner. Was it genius from the German or was it a mistake from Jaume Dominic, the guy who's been given a chance as a starting goalkeeper over Jasper Cillessen in recent games for Valencia? And who do you think should be the Valencia starting goalkeeper in general?
The Toni Kroos goal was unfortunate, a little bit of genius and also a little bit of Jaume not playing the ball well. I do think that he should be the starter for Valencia. I think he's shown overall that he is ready for the starting position. As far as Cillessen goes, I'm not convinced by him. I think he's made some very big mistakes. And while Jaume did make this mistake in the semifinal, I'm not going to burden him with that so much because I think he has played spectacular when he has started.
Thank you, Cesar, for that insight into the first semi-final and Valencia's very brief Supercopa experience. The second semi-final was between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, and this was where the tournament got really interesting. This was the best game of the tournament. In fact, this was one of the best games of the entire Spanish football season so far.
Llega Messi, pelea Messi, chuta Messi, gol. Y gol, 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 gol de Oblak. Pero Antoine Griezmann embota en el área pequeña. Y gol, gol, golpear. Toma carrera Morata, chuta Morata, gol. Y gol, 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 gol. Correa, chuta para Neto. Gol, 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 gol. Y gol, gol, gol del cojo. Gol, 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 gol de Correa.
After a goalless first half, Koke gave Atletico Madrid a lead 21 seconds into the second half. Then goals from Lionel Messi and former Atleti man Antoine Griezmann turned it around. Barcelona could even have had a 4-1 lead had it not been for VAR ruling out two other goals. That opened the door though for Atletico Madrid and they took their chance. Alvaro Morata scored a penalty to tie the game and then Angel Correa burst through and scored the winner to send Atletico Madrid to the final with a 3-2 victory. Roman de Arquer joins me now to break this down and analyse it. Roman, Barcelona lost the match, but am I right in thinking this was actually one of their best performances of the season?
I did see quite a few tweets of people saying that Barca had played their best game this season, but I don't think I'm going to completely agree. It does have to be said it was against a very tough rival such as Atletico de Madrid, so it's an extra plus, I guess, playing well against a team which is so good. But at the same time, I remember games at the beginning of the season against Betis, for example, at the Camp Nou against Valencia, where we had really, really good minutes and we actually ended up thrashing both teams 5-2, I think it was, in those two games. So for me, it isn't the best game, but certainly maybe in that top 5, top 10 of Barcelona so far this season, which isn't, I guess, hard to get because Barcelona haven't been playing well, as I said before, in most of the season, especially when they're not playing in the Camp Nou. And today in the stadium away from Spain and all that, I think it takes a lot of effort to have played as well as Barca did finally in the game. Unfortunately, in the end, it was a defeat, which wasn't a great result.
So, given how well Barcelona played, how exactly did they end up losing?
I think there are two factors for that. First of all, it's Atletico de Madrid. It's all their merit because they're a team which never gives up, you know, with Cholo Simeone behind the players, bringing that intensity to them, transmitting that they have to fight from the first to the last minute. You just know that Atletico are never going to give up, no matter what the score is. And it was another example of this. And they kept on going, they kept on pushing. And in the end, you know, they found the goals they needed and they got their prize, which is an incredible final against Real Madrid. And then on the other hand, I think the other problem was basically Barca's defense, especially pointing out Umtiti. I think he's so far off from that player we saw the first season when he came to Barcelona, where he looked such an impressive defender for so many years to come. But his problems with his knee injury and all that seems to be affecting the way he plays. You could see like in the third goal, for example, he was just trotting back. When you really have to fight in those minutes because you're drawing and the game is about to end. I'm not going to say, of course, it's his fault, but him with Piqué weren't at his best, and also Sergio Roberto on that right hand side wasn't great defending against Atletico. So in general, we have to say the defense was not good for Barcelona in this match.
After this game, there was a lot of Valverde out talk and it escalated over the weekend. It genuinely seems like he will be sacked. Is that fair?
You know what I think. I mean, I've been a bit unhappy with Valverde for a while now. I've always mentioned, you know, that he's been here for almost 3 years and I haven't really seen an evolution in the way the team plays. There's always the same kind of defensive problems, the same creative problems, and it just keeps on going. Even though, it has to be said, as we mentioned before, it was one of Barca's best games possibly this season, so it maybe is slightly unfair. But we know how things have been going with Barcelona and Valverde in the last few months. All those tough away games where Barca played really poorly, lost a couple of those, and gave, you know, a very bad image. Then you have to add that at the Camp Nou there have also been poor games from Barcelona. So, you know, fans are unhappy. There's a lot of accumulated annoyance from the fans. You know, they want to win. And in the end, not winning against a team which is a direct rival such as Atletico and losing the opportunity of winning another title never feels well among the fan base. So I can understand fans aren't happy.
And what about this game from an Atletico point of view? Were they lucky in this semi-final, or did Diego Simeone have a good game plan to defeat Barcelona?
Luck was on their side in this game. I think it's fair to say that, in my opinion. Let's not forget that if VAR wasn't implemented in football, possibly Barcelona would have won that game, because those two goals would have gone up and it would have been a completely different match. But it is a fact that VAR exists, so I guess maybe we can take that bit of luck away. But overall, as I said before, Barca were the better team and probably deserved the victory more. So maybe in that sense, there was a bit of luck for Atletico in the end. But also credit to Cholo, you know, because despite being dominated most of the game, towards the end, Atletico were generating a lot of opportunities in the counter-attack and Barca were really struggling in defense. They were having problems to keep the attackers away and Atletico were generating quite a lot. And there is where they took the game and took that pass to the final. So there is like credit on Cholo's game plan for sure.
Finally, I want to ask about all the fights and the yellow cards and the arguing in this game. There were lots of moments where the players were clashing with each other. There's been a lot of talk about this Supercopa and whether or not people care, but the Barcelona and Atletico players really did seem to care, didn't they?
They did, and I can understand why, because as a football player, you're just very competitive naturally, you know? You want to win games. There's no scene or no scenario, I think, in which you want to lose against Atletico de Madrid, against Real Madrid, against Valencia, etc., etc. These are teams you have to beat, and when you're on the field, you just want to get the victory. And if you add the fact that there's a title behind that, that you can actually win a Supercopa, well, I'm sure the players are motivated and they want to win and put on a show, you know. And overall, this Supercopa has been so criticized by everyone, and I honestly don't think it's that bad as it seems. For me, the Supercopa we've been seeing usually in preseason tended to be a bit boring, to be honest, the home and away game, and I honestly didn't see much appeal to it. But I think this new system can be attractive if a few things are fixed. Like, for example, the criteria chosen to select the clubs, so then there wouldn't be as many fans saying, oh, Madrid don't deserve to be there or whatever, you know. If they clarify that for an instance, I think it will improve. And I like the fact that there's two teams playing against each other for then a really good final, and we have four very interesting three matches to watch. And of course, in the end, I think it's not a bad idea. The only defect, in my opinion, is the fact that it's being played in Saudi Arabia, which isn't ideal, even though it has helped women be able to go to the stadiums and watch the games, which is great. But at the same time, we know that these countries have a very turbulent past. Maybe that wasn't the best decision playing it right there. But in terms of being a new and interesting competition, I think it has a lot of potential for the future.
Thank you, Roman. It really was a dramatic semi-final, one that prevented this Supercopa from having a Clásico in the final. Instead, we got a Madrid derby between Atletico and Real Madrid, and we'll be discussing how that went after this short break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello and welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown podcast as we discuss the Supercopa de España and the events of the past week. As we heard in part one, Real Madrid won their semi-final against Valencia and Atletico Madrid won theirs against Barcelona to set up a Madrid derby in the final. The Madrid derby really has gotten exotic in recent years. After never having one outside of Spain before 6 years ago, we've since had the 2014 Champions League final in Lisbon, the 2016 Champions League final in Milan, and the 2018 UEFA Super Cup final in Tallinn, Estonia. So, who would win this time in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia? Well, there were no goals in the 90 minutes or in extra time, so this one went down to penalties.
Carvajal, golpea Carvajal, gol. El primero para el Madrid. Ha habido el colegiado. Ahí va Saúl para intentar el empate. ¡Al palo! Carrerilla oblicua, ahí va el golpeo. ¡Vaya penalti que acaba de tirar Rodrigo a la cuadra!
Espectacular.
Ahí va con el balón. ¡Paro Courtois! Modric, ahí va golpeo.
As was the case in the penalty shootout in Milan in 2016, Real Madrid triumphed from the spot against their city rivals Atletico. They won the shootout 4-1, Dani Carvajal, Rodrigo, Luka Modric and Sergio Ramos all scoring for Real Madrid. While Saúl hit the post, Thomas Partey had an effort saved by Thibaut Courtois and Kevin Trippier scored one that wasn't enough for Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid fan and journalist Christopher McCormick joins us now to discuss it. And Christopher, how do you think most Real Madrid fans feel about the fact that Real Madrid are Supercopa de España champions?
I think Real Madrid fans are pleased for the most part. We had a miserable season last year where we came home empty-handed, so we'll take anything we can get at this stage. And no matter what the game is, losing to your derby rivals in a final is something that's rarely on the cards as acceptable for Real Madrid fans.
Did either side deserve to win it in 90 minutes or in extra time?
I probably think penalties was the fair result at full time. I thought Atletico Madrid started the game really, really well, but that start kind of dwindled at around 20 minutes and Madrid started making some moves into the Atleti half. They didn't make much in the minute, didn't get many chances in the first half. Second half, they had a few more chances, but nothing significant apart from Fede Valverde's header. Then the extra time was just messy. Both sides lost the tactical discipline we saw in regular time, and it was kind of a free-for-all that neither team could make the most of the chances they had.
How vital was Fede Valverde's tackle to deny Morata? This came in extra time when Morata would otherwise have been through on goal and Valverde brought him down, accepting the red card. Valverde won the MVP award. Did he deserve it just for that?
Yeah, that tackle was huge in the context of the match. I don't think Morata would have missed the chance if he had a shot on goal. It just shows how crucial a player Fede Valverde is and how mature he is for being just 22 and in his first proper season at Madrid. He fully deserved the MVP award, although it's not just on the basis of that tackle. He ran for miles. He was everywhere. He had the biggest chance of the game for Madrid. And despite the fact he missed it, I think his all-round performance was fantastic and he deserved the man of the match.
What about the performance of Courtois? He was brilliant at the end of extra time and, of course, in the penalty shootout.
I think Courtois would feel hard done by that he didn't get the man of the match award at the end. He has come a huge way since he started out at Real Madrid. He's a real key player for us and he was massive in our victory in this game. He said in a post-match press conference that he studied Atletico Madrid's penalty takers and knew which way Thomas Partey was going to take his penalty. I think that demonstrates certainly what a studious goalkeeper he is, and I personally hope he can continue this form till the end of the season.
Thanks, Christopher, for that. Now let's get the thoughts of the losing side by speaking to Jeremy Barron of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation site for Atletico Madrid fans. Jeremy, how do you feel after that final?
Well, initially I felt a little exhausted, a little miffed after that final, but I've since achieved some clarity, some serenity. It was a long, intense, grueling game, which I felt was played like an actual final rather than the final game of this controversial mid-season cash grab. Regardless, the first 90 minutes had to be pretty dull overall for the neutral. I mean, let's be honest, the Madrid derby hasn't been quote-unquote entertaining for a while now, save for last year's UEFA Super Cup. But extra time raised the Oblak pressure a little bit, and this game really could only end with drama, with theatrics, just for the wrong Madrid team.
Where did it go wrong for Atletico Madrid? What's the main reason for their failure to win it in normal or extra time?
The margins did Atleti in on Sunday, lacking some luck. The things that helped Atletico beat Barcelona on Thursday did them in on Sunday. Real Madrid didn't make any mistakes defensively, and Thibaut Courtois was exceptional against his old team. You don't see, say, Ivan Rakitic make the tackle that Fede Valverde made on Alvaro Morata deep into extra time when he was clear one-on-one with Courtois. And Atleti looked, as they have in big games this season, as if they lacked that extra drop of quality against this team. Oblak was pretty bad in the shootout, too. Just as in Milan in 2016, each spot kick sent him the wrong way. And, of course, Sergio Ramos was there at the end to seal it.
Who was the best performer for Atletico Madrid, and who was the weakest link?
I give the nod to Felipe as Atletico's best performer on the night. He made 14 clearances and played expertly despite playing on a yellow card for 93 minutes. He's just gone from strength to strength all season, and he recovered gracefully after a tough game against Barca. As for the weakest link, I'd have to say the strikers. João Félix worked really hard over 100 minutes, tracked back, ran a lot, but just wasn't involved going forward. Morata recorded two shots on target and provoked Valverde's red card, but Ramos limited him, and he committed a whopping 5 fouls. Tough game for them, and you wonder if João Félix needs a rest soon. He hasn't scored a league goal since September 1st. There's been chatter, well, not so much chatter, but Simeone has said, and João Félix himself has said, that he needs to work on his durability, his stamina, getting stronger as the game goes along. So perhaps it may be time to go back to the lab, so to speak, give him a rest, and see what that'll do for him.
You've already mentioned it, but how much did watching this penalty shootout bring up memories of the 2016 Champions League final, especially as one of the penalties hit the left-hand post again?
Oh, of course I had memories of the 2016 Champions League final. The one thing I didn't want to happen in this match was to see it go to penalties, and that's where it went. Madrid had converted 18 straight penalties in the derby, and that number is up to 22 now. Yeah, the shootout was tough, and it was a weird lineup of shooters. That was really the thing that bothered me the most about this game. I don't know why Morata, Vitolo, Correa didn't get an opportunity. Atletico sent up two midfielders and a right back in the shootout. I don't know why Trippier only went third, considering his track record. I know he missed a penalty against Lokomotiv last month, but he has a very good track record from set pieces. Sowell's penalty really did resemble Juan Franz from back in the day, which, okay, just like that penalty at San Siro, it happens. Maybe it's going in 1 inch to the left or 1 inch to the right, but Thomas Partey's penalty had no chance. He hit it hard, but it was too low, and he telegraphed it. Courtois made the save. Granted, this was more, at least compared to a shootout in a Champions League final, this was more like a friendly, but it's still a bad way to lose. It was a bad way to lose then, and it turns out it still is.
Thanks, Jeremy, and thanks to everyone who shared their thoughts there on the Super Cup. There was more Spanish football, though, as we also had the Copa del Rey for the other 16 La Liga sides not involved in the Super Cup. Well, the other 15 teams, all apart from Alaves, who had been knocked out in the previous round. Here's Matt Clark now to provide a Copa del Rey roundup for us. Matt, take it away.
This weekend saw a total of 28 matches take place in the Copa del Rey. Osasuna were living dangerously at Club Haro Deportivo, going behind with only 15 minutes to go. But goals from Nacho Vidal and man of the moment Chimi Avila in the last minute saved them. Ebro were one of the early surprises. They're 13th in their Segunda B group, but managed after extra time to beat second division side Ponferradina. There were comfortable wins for Real Betis and Leganés against Portugalete and Real Murcia respectively. Carles Alinha started for Betis and registered the assist for Alex Moreno's opener before Loren Morón and Joaquin made the tie safe. For Lega, both Guido Carrillo and Martin Braithwaite scored braces as their unbeaten run in all competitions under Javier Aguirre stretches to 6 matches. The biggest giant killing of the entire round belonged to Badalona. 16th in their Segunda B group, they knocked out Getafe 2-0. Jose Bordalas said afterwards that they can now focus on the league and the Europa League. UD Ibiza knocked out Albacete on penalties in dramatic fashion to start the party early on the island. Recreativa de Huelva, now down in Segunda B, but copper runners-up in 2003, beat Fuenlabrada, who are now sitting 5th in Segunda. Cultural Leonesa knocked out Huesca, a side only relegated from La Liga last season and now going well in 4th in Segunda this time around. Ahead very early, it seemed a formality, but Cultural equalised in the 76th minute before winning with a last minute penalty. Another scalp taken was Cadiz, as the Segunda leaders conceded an 89th minute equaliser to Logroñés, who then prevailed on penalties. Marbella were 4 minutes away from a La Liga scalp, but Real Valladolid's talismanic Turkish forward Enes Unal came up with the equaliser. It then went to penalties, and Real Madrid loanee Andriy Lonin was the hero, saving 2 Marbella pens, with Puzela achieving perfection from their spot kicks to progress. Orihuela, bottom of their Segunda B group, took a Villarreal side with Raul Albiol, Samu Chukwueze and Santi Cazorla all the way to extra time, and were 2 minutes away from the lottery of a shootout. But second-half substitute Gerard Moreno's brace ensured the yellow submarine did not sink. First-half goals were enough as Mallorca and Granada recorded narrow 1-0 victories. Vicente Moreno's side beat Zamora FC, while Diego Martinez's team beat Udi Tamaracete. The most comfortable victory of Saturday was for Athletic Club, on a fantastic occasion for Basque football. Las Lañas was bouncing and singing throughout, and although the away side ran out 4-0 winners, the home fans celebrated their team's effort with pride on the pitch after the game. This is what cup football is all about. On Sunday, there was heartbreak for 4th tier Cacereño. They took the lead in the 65th minute, but Pedro León equalised for Eibar with 10 left. It looked to be heading for extra time, but in the final moments of the encounter, a last-gasp own goal from their captain Alberto Delgado gave Eibar the win. Elation for them, but despair for Delgado. In fact, in recognising his anguish, Eibar didn't celebrate, and instead consoled the tearful captain in one of the moments of the season for sportsmanship. Here's a fun fact. The attendance at the Estadio Príncipe Felipe was over 6,000, which is higher than the attendance for Eibar's last La Liga game at Ipurua. Sunday was more sedate for Espanyol, Celta, Real Sociedad and Sevilla, who were all able to rotate and still win with relative ease. Real Sociedad have now won their 2 matches in this season's Copa by an aggregate score of 12-0. Espanyol, already playing their 33rd game of the season, won 2-0 and gave a debut to Raúl de Tomás against his brother Ruben's side, Udi Sansi. Inevitably, RDT got on the score sheet. The story of the day was Unionistas de Salamanca. Founded in 2013, they won a marathon shootout to defeat Deportivo La Coruña. They are now the lowest ranked side left in the Copa. currently 18th in their Segunda B group, but prevailed here 8-7 on spot kicks. Having knocked out Alaves in the last round, Real Jaén were nearly at it again, taking Levante, who were reduced to 9 men, all the way to penalties, but the hosts missed their crucial 5th to end their fairy tale run. Rayo Vallecano rounded off the weekend with a 2-0 win at Baracaldo. Overall, this round saw 8 shocks in that the lower ranked side prevailed. 4 ties were settled in extra time, while an additional 7 went the distance and required penalties. For the next round, the 4 Supercopa teams enter the game, meaning there are 18 teams from La Liga, 6 sides from Segunda and 8 from Segunda B. Despite the Supercopa largely overshadowing the attention from the media, this revamped format has definitely rejuvenated the Copa, and the next draw could really throw up some more tantalising one-off games.
Thank you, Matt. So, we've lost 2 top division teams already in this year's Copa del Rey in the form of Alaves and Getafe. Pretty interesting stuff, and it just shows the competitiveness of the newly formatted Copa del Rey. It'll be interesting to watch. But next up, we've got the return of La Liga next weekend, and that means we'll be back next Monday for your usual La Liga Lowdown matchday recap. Thanks to this week's contributors, Cesar Benoit, Roman de Arquer, Christopher McCormack, Jeremy Barron, and Matt Clark. I've been your host, Hugh McTeer, and I thank you very much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.